Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Guys, we are celebrating so much today. Okay, another solo podcast. Welcome back to Probably Podcast, my angels on this earth. So literally right before producer Courtney walked in, my truck got delivered and I'm about to blast this shit on Instagram like you've never seen before. But this episode will come out in a couple weeks, so I can just go ahead and spill the beans. I got the cutest, the coolest, this like classic truck. So it's a 1971 Ford Classic, a Ford F-150. Oh, and also it's like the cutest color blue. It's like a color top I would buy. Also, if you're comparing color tops you would buy to the truck you just bought, just imagine if like a country man was listening to this, like, oh my God, it's the shade of a color top that I would buy. Like, people that shouldn't own a classic truck, probably me. But I do, so I'm excited. And it's just really, it's such a vibe. It's a vibe. And I couldn't be happier with it because I really was going back and forth. I always grew up in a family that like, we just had a truck, right? It was never a nice truck. It was like, and then my best friend Grayson growing up, like her dad, I remember had the same kind of truck. It was just like a truck that was just there for truck related activities, like going to the dump. We grew up where there were not trash cans that public like services came and picked up and dumped. Like, you put your trash in the back of a truck and you drove it to the dump. So I always thought people that just have cars, what do they do? Like, they put it in their car trunk? Like, ew. But yeah, so there was just like always a truck for like going to pick up soil or flowers. I don't even fucking know. The list goes on and on. A truck. So yeah, I was thinking that I cannot. So as we know, this is a finance podcast. Because I'm getting a loan for my house, right, to build this home, the bank no likey me taking a loan out for a car. They're like, hey, stop borrowing money. And I'm like, hey, all right. So, and I still have my boat. I still have a couple payments left on my boat. So like, I'm just like a little tied up at the moment. Okay. So I decided that I needed a car because I sold my G-Wagon dream baby, dream car, really sad. But at the end of the day, it was a fantastic financial decision. I barely lost any money on the G-Wagon, which is unheard of. Like, you don't make money on cars. And technically I didn't make money on this, but I definitely like made out like a bandit, and that was a great decision. And I'm still standing by it, and I'm really happy I did it. Plus, like, me and the G-Wagon, we had our moment. We were buddies, we were pals, and we did what we needed to be done. So the stars and everything are gone. But I basically was thinking, okay, I have to have a car. So I was like exploring other options. Renting was kind of expensive. I was gonna borrow one of my parents' car, but I could tell, you know when you can tell that your parents are like, no, seriously, please, seriously, like, of course, darling, you're our child. Of course, we'll let you borrow our car. But really, they're like, I could just tell it might make their lives a little bit more complicated. And the last thing I want to ever do, it's make my favorite people in the entire world, my parents, lives any more complicated. So I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just, instead of going and spending, I had like a number in my head, right? Like, I had a number that I was willing to spend on this truck that wouldn't like deplete me in a way that made me feel bad. So I was like, instead of spending that number on a car, like maybe going to buy like an old like BMW SUV or a Mercedes SUV, and then it depreciate in value so much that by the time I sell it next year to get my next big dream car, like, I'll be selling it for scraps and I'll just be pissed at myself for having it for a year. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to spend that money that I'm, you know, like succumb to, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm resolved. I'm at resolve with it. Like I'm resolved to spend this money anyways. I'm going to spend that on a truck and then I'm not going to sell the truck. I'm going to keep it. It's going to be like my truck. I'm buying a house in the suburbs. She's a country mouse. Like, why wouldn't I have a truck just at my house? So I'm going to buy a truck and it's not going to be a nice truck. I had originally decided this truck would just be like a 2014 something or another that just had a bunch of miles. I didn't care because it was just going to be my dump truck. So anyways, I decided on that. And then out of nowhere, the Instagram gods literally presented me with this classic, gorgeous, like I said, baby blue 1971 classic truck that's in fantastic condition because it was just redone and they have like all the paperwork and everything. And it's basically these people that were moving away from Florida, couldn't take the truck with them, wanted to like get it off their hands. And I'm like, it me. And a girl reached out to me, was like, I saw your like Instagram saying you wanted to buy a truck. My friend's selling a truck, her and her husband. I was like, oh my gosh, perfect. I see it immediately. I'm like, I must have this truck. It is like if Barbie drove a truck, Barbie would drive this truck. Do you know what I mean? It's like so fucking cute. I was like, I have to have it. Things I didn't ask that Courtney just said. Courtney pulls up in her truck, actually. A country girl can survive, okay? We got country mouses all up in this bitch. So she pulls up and she's like, oh my God, I love it. I'm like, right? Isn't it fabulous? Whatever. She's like, does it have AC? And I was like, so I didn't ask. Like, there are times in my life, and I've said it time and time again, where I am like, you are smart. You are intelligent. Like, you help people in this life. You are put on this earth to speak and to help people. And then there are so many times that I'm reminded that I am just such a dumb bitch. I'm such a dumb bitch. Okay. So I was like, I didn't ask. And then I was too embarrassed to ask after I didn't ask and I already wired them the money. I was too embarrassed to be like, by the way, BT Dubs, does it have AC? So it gets really motherfucking hot here in Tennessee in the summer as well, I'm sure, as it does in Florida. So part of me was just like holding out like there's no motherfucking way that they do not have AC in this truck in Florida. But it's also a classic, so who knows? It comes. I turn it on. Blasted with AC. Love to see it. Oh, it felt nice. Ooh, it was great. So yeah, it has AC. But I need to tell you guys, this is obviously, I feel like you've seen on Instagram or, you know, Twitter or whatever, all of these scary things that are happening right now with like AI technology and how it's absolutely running rampant and just totally fucking everyone in the sense that like, it's like, I almost just said pranking people, not pranking, but scamming people. Like it's full on running scams on these hoes and people are falling for it because how could you not? It's like people pretending to be like your daughter getting in a car accident. Like it's really scary. And so anyways, I was like, oh my gosh, you know this is real because I could give you guys every single little detail of why I know this is real. Actually, the girl that I was like chatting with on Instagram, it came from another girl that I know from Instagram. I could see her Instagram. She's been on Instagram for 12 years, since 2012. Her children are on her page. Like there's so many reasons. Like we're sending voice memos back and forth. She's sending me videos. I can see her wedding ring in them. There are so many reasons that I, Shannon Ford, a dumb bitch sometimes, but not always a dumb bitch, has 4 working brain cells left. I know for sure not a scam, right? Like and I know that this sounds like what people say when they're scammed, which my mom and dad. So anyways, I'm over excited to do this. I don't want them to sell the truck to anyone else. I wired them the money at like 10 p.m. It doesn't even go through because basically Bank of America was like, it'll go the next business day. But I send her a screenshot, like your money's through. Like we were both laughing, like, cause she's around my age, I think, her and her husband. And then we were like laughing on voice notes. Cause she's like, wait, I don't think I know how to do a wire transfer. I was like, bitch, I don't know how to do a wire transfer. Like, what are we in the mob? Like, I don't know either. And we were like laughing, like, you know, if someone's scamming me, it's damn good. Like it's good. Just, it's good. So I just like, no, it's not. And anyways, my mom wakes up the next morning. I have a text message that says, please wake up, call me. I have 3 missed calls. I have an email. I have an email from my mother. Subject line, I think you're getting scammed. Please call me. It's about the truck. Actual body of the email, nothing. Just the subject line said that. Like, fucking moms, man. Like, what? I'm like, okay. So I begrudgingly pick up the phone and call my mom. I'm like, hey, mom. She's like, honey, I don't feel good about it. I do. Your father and I do not feel good about it. My mom's much more of the, if she was listening to this, she'd be pretty offended, but she's not hysterics. My mom is the person that when something goes wrong, she figures it out. But she's like me in the sense that she's just like, she had a little bit of flair of drama. You know what I mean? Like we just love a little drama. And so she was like, honey, I do not think this is not making sense, blah, blah, blah. Why would they have you wire them at 10 p.m. at night? I was like, oh, that was my idea. She was like, what? And I was like, yeah, like I was there. I had my laptop out. Like, why are you the money, sis? And she was like, I was like, they didn't even ask for the money yet. And she was like, Shannon, this is just like, nah, how do you know these people, whatever. My dad gets on the phone. He pulls one of these. Honey, and I'm like, oh, so I'm on speakerphone. Honey, yeah, I mean, you do know these people. And I was like, not technically, no, but she's very active on social media. I feel like I know her at this point. You know, she's really relatable. I really like her. I think we'd be friends. And my dad's like, because, oh, honey, it's just, you know, I know you're smart, honey. We're not implying you're smart. And I told your mom, you know, she's got to do what she wants to. She's growing. I'm like, Dad. Then, you know, my dad's playing like good cop, bad cop. And he's like, but it's just these things they happen. And I was like, listen, guys, I know they be happening, but, and then every time I would try to convince them it's not a scam, it would sound exactly like what someone would tell you when something was a scam. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay. So I'm like, I don't know what to tell you guys. I promise it's not, whatever. I finally convince them. I send the girl a voice note. Now, obviously, because like I am logical, the back of my brain's working a little bit like, no, this would be crazy, right? This would be so fucking crazy if this is a scam. It's obviously not a scam. I send her a voice note being like, I just had to convince my parents, hee hee ha ha, that you're not an AI person tricking me. And she was so sweet. She sent me a picture back of her older kid. And she was like, mommy's not a thief. I promise. And I was like, this is so cute. They're obviously not scamming me. Unless. And so I was like, okay. So anyways, you guys obviously know the end of the story. The truck's sitting in my driveway. But I have to tell you this. Bank of America, I get an email from them. This seems normal. That was like, hey, we stopped the charge coming through the wire transfer of this amount because it looked like it was going to an unknown account and it was a large enough number that we always do this if it's over $2,500 or something like that. And I was like, cool. Call this number and then tell us it's not fraud and we will, you know, reinstate the wire. I'm like, gotta do that. Gotta pay my scammers. Just kidding, they're not scammers. And so I, she's a nice lady. So I pick up the phone, I call Bank of America. I get on the phone with what is absolutely no questions asked, a like Midwestern, it's a woman named Barbara. She's for sure from the Midwest. I can hear it in her voice. And she is doing her job correctly. And we fucking like Barbara for that, okay? And you know what makes me feel better about all the grandparents out there, all the easily scammed people? It makes me feel very happy that people like Barbara are out there. They're fucking pursuing that shit, okay? Let me tell you something. Barbara didn't want me to give this money to these people in Florida. She was steadfast in her, like, absolute disdain for this transaction, okay? And I was like, Barbara, I gotta send this money. Like, I gotta give them a truck. And so I guess one of the most common scams, which makes sense, one of the most common scams is like Facebook Marketplace, like car sales and like vehicle sales. And so every time I would answer one of her questions, it was like the exact opposite thing to say. She's like, okay, but you have seen the truck, right? I was like, technically, no, it's in Florida. She's like, okay, again, ma'am, I couldn't suggest more against this. And I'm like, no, Barbara, listen, I've seen it. The girl's got kids. People wouldn't do this as kids. I'm like, I've heard her husband laughing in the background. She's like, they work in teams. I was like, oh my God, she's serious, you guys. She's like, at the point to like, it did get kind of annoying a little bit because I was like, okay, because I kept being like, I so appreciate that you have these things in place. I'm so happy that y'all are really taking these things seriously. But like, I gotta go, Barbara. I gotta go. And so anyways, we have to go through all these disclaimers, which I know it's just her job. Like I have to read this statement. You have to agree. But then it was the funniest part was like the end when she was like, so I do have to read this off one more time just so I have things clear. You met a woman on the internet who has kids. Okay. And she sold you a truck that you have never seen from Florida. She's also paying to have it shipped to you. I'm like, they really needed to get rid of it. She's like, okay. Okay. All right. And then you still have never seen the car. You've never met this person in person and you know her from the internet because another person you don't know on the internet said this girl was selling a truck. And I said, exactly, Barbara. That's exactly what I'm saying. Give me the money. And she's like, well, again, I do fully think you are being scammed. And I am so sorry. Oh, she had to keep telling me, like, you're not going to get this money back. Like, I have on file here that we have suggested so far against this. Like, if this is a scam, I am so sorry to let you know. You will not receive this money back. I have it in bright red marker. She didn't say that, but I'm assuming. She was mean to business. And I was like, thanks, Barbara. G2G. Anyways, I get off the phone with her. I'm like, this is so funny. I kind of thought it was funny. I call my parents. Bad idea. I was like, listen to this. Bank of America is so crazy. They're cuckoo. So my mom's like, bitch, it is a scam. Anyways, I actually don't tell the lady again that my bank now thinks it's a scam because I knew in my heart of hearts it wasn't. But the truck is here. I'm so happy to report that it's literally not a fucking scam. And there are fabulous people who like described everything perfectly and everything's wonderful. And it does have AC and a radio, but it's like one of those, like, you know, like old school radios. I don't know. I don't think they have CarPlay. So Taylor, let me tell you guys, Taylor thinks this is the dumbest thing I could ever do in my whole life. And what's one thing we know about Taylor? The bitch is always right. I don't want her to be right. I don't like when she's always right, but she's always right. So she's like, and I'm telling her, this is just my little like summer toot around the town truck, like it's a little toot around town truck. It's, you know, it's wackadoodle time, as I've keep seeing on TikTok and I can't get out of my head. It's just time to be girl in truck looking cute. It's pick me energy as fuck. And I'm fully owning that. Like, why else would I, someone who has absolutely no knowledge of a classic like truck genre, be like, I'm going to drive this 1971 Ford F-50. Like, it is literally look at me energy. But nevertheless, as Claudia says, we proceed. So, yeah, Taylor's like, you are going to still be asking to borrow my car every fucking day because you are not going to ride. The truck is like, it starts. It's like, fucking loud. Like, it's got like two mufflers on the side. It's loud. I've already had the guy that was cleaning my gutters already asked me a bunch of questions about it. I've got to look some things up because I don't know shit about shit. And I looked dumb. Maybe I'll start saying it's like someone's like my like brothers or something. I'm like, it's my brothers. I don't know much about it, but. Anyways, yeah, so Taylor's like, you're gonna hate it. It's like not gonna like be what you're used to. I also am pretty sure, like, I would not take it long distance. And I do know, like, most old cars, like, there's obviously a chance that it will like occasionally stall. Hopefully not at an intersection. Like, RIP. But like, yeah, so we're just gonna wish for the best. And I will eventually, once the house closes and once the bank's like, we'll let you borrow money again, I will just get like another, like maybe like another G-Wagon or maybe a Range Rover. I don't fucking know. I have no idea. I can't really tell you what kind of car I want, but you know, an SUV. Maybe I'll be my mommy era and I'll want like a big Yukon or something. Anyone that drove a Yukon back in the day, I was like, that shit is fresh as hell. So yeah, we'll see, TBD, but the truck is here and it wasn't a scam. So I'm really glad that I took 15 minutes to tell you guys that. Okay, I have a confession that I feel like y'all aren't gonna think is very Shannon's childhood, but I actually didn't do my own laundry until I was in college. Isn't that wild? I don't know if my mom was just like being a legend or didn't trust us or what, but the result was that when I got to college, I knew nothing about laundry, like nothing. So I just did what everyone else did. I bought these massive, gigantic liquid detergent jugs. Now, I lived in a house with four girls in college. Imagine, just imagine how many jugs we were going through. Now imagine all those gallon plastic jugs just ending up in landfills. It's sad, okay? It's just so bad for the environment. Also, saving the planet aside, it was simply a mess. Like, someone always ended up spilling it or getting it all over something. It was just gross. Now that I'm adulting properly and have proudly been doing laundry for a while, I just use Earth Breeze. They've got these True Earth Eco Strip detergents that are just amazing because it comes as these like detergent strips. No more massive jugs taking up space or spilling on stuff. It's just one easy strip that you plop into your washing machine. Each laundry strip packs an ultra concentrated hypoallergenic, which is very important to me because I have super sensitive skin, cleaning power into a tiny pre-measured strip of liquidless laundry detergent that you just toss into the wash. No measuring, no mess, just one easy strip. And come on, it's just simply so much better for the environment. It's tough on stains, and you aren't compromising your clean. It's still super powerful, and my clothes come out perfect every wash. Best part about it, it's delivered right to your door, baby. They offer flexible subscriptions that can be paused or canceled whenever, so there's no binding contracts or fees, nothing like that. It's just fantastic. So switch from the old-fashioned goo to something new. Right now, my listeners can subscribe to EarthBreeze and save 40%. Go to earthbreeze.com/Shannon to get started. That's earthbreeze.com/Shannon for 40% off. earthbreeze.com/Shannon. Today is also an important day because today is my 1 year anniversary with James. Like, how crazy is that? The fact that I sat right here, actually I sat in that chair because I gave Marissa her good side, which was a fucking baller friend move because this is my good side. But I sat right there in that chair talking to Marissa, and I almost didn't, and I've said this before on the podcast, but I almost didn't tell you guys about James at all because I was so worried that like it wouldn't work out, and I wanted it to work out so badly. And then I also had this like, I didn't want to jinx it. And then I had this other thought that I was like, maybe this for the first time ever, I keep one of my relationships private, as fucking if I'd be able to keep my big ass mouth shut. Like, the least mysterious person ever. Like, you want to know something? I'll tell you. I'll tell you immediately. Maybe you don't want to know something. I'll still tell you. I will. So that was like never going to work anyways. But I sat right there in that chair and I just thought to myself, like, you know, c'est la vie. If this works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. What does c'est la vie mean? Life is grand? I don't know. Producer Courtney's reaching for her phone. She's looking it up. C'est la vie. I basically just had this mentality where I'm like, it is what it is. I'm either going to, like, this is going to work and it's going to be beautiful, or it's not and I'm going to be better for it because, like, this man is amazing. So I can't believe a year later I'm just sitting here and we're just, like, chit-chatting about my boyfriend that I've been dating for a year who's, like, currently trying to get a visa to move here, and I'm building a house in Franklin next to my best friends, and I'm just like, what the fuck? All the stuff that can happen in a year. What does c'est la vie mean?
That's life.
That's life. Okay. Oh, my God. I did use that correctly. I'm shocked. That's life. C'est la vie. So, like, yeah, I am just, like, perplexed, and you guys have been along for the ride the entire time. Like, the journey, you guys have been absolutely on with me, and it just, like, it just melts my heart. It really, really does. So there were some, he actually just had flowers delivered. Listen, I had this whole, like, spiel on my little, like, 1 year post on Instagram, but I'm going to tell you guys too, because maybe there's not a crossover. There should be. That you guys should all follow me on Instagram at probably Shannon. So yeah, I had this conversation where I was basically just like, I don't know why I called it a conversation. It was my caption. My caption was talking about the whole, like, age-old phrase. I am not claiming I created this phrase. It is copyright, but I'm sure someone who will eventually block me. If he wanted to, he would. So, like, if he wanted to, he would. And I've heard it forever. And obviously, it's, like, overused as fuck. And, like, anytime people start really clingy to something, I know it gets kind of cringe to, like, always repeat. Like, if he wanted to, he would. If he wanted to, he would. Lucky girl mentality. Like, but these things become cliches for a reason, because they're so true and they're so right. So, also, you know what I really wish it would become a cliche that everyone in the world used? Quit your job at Google and make soap. Like, can we, like, put on a t-shirt? So, I literally could actually. I make merch. TBD on that, though. We'll see. So anyways, yeah, I basically posted the thing about how if he wanted to, he would, and how James and I, you meet someone, and I mean, like, the amount of time a day that I was giving to these men that did not want time of day with me. They said, could do without time of day with Shannon. And I was like, I'll give you my life. Like, oh my God, desperado scale 1000. She was in her pathetic girl era. It was embarrassing for everyone involved. But, like, you know, we all go through it. And I just was, like, really holding out for, like, someone. And here's the thing. And I'm going to get into some hot takes in a second. So I'll wait for my, you know, roster hot take. But all I'm saying is, if he wanted to, he wouldn't. I met James, and I'm not to brag, but, like, I also can brag because you guys have been here throughout all of my absolute, like, disasters. So I'm going to brag for a second. Like, you meet someone one day and you just realize, holy shit, this guy would do whatever it took to be with me. And I also want him back. Like, you also don't have to be with someone just because they are the first guy proving to you that they want to be with you. Like, you don't have to settle for, like, someone that likes you more than you like them. It should be equal, right? And, like, I liked him so much. And the way that he just reciprocated that love and or likeness back to me and the desire to be with me, like, it felt so relieving to just have someone in my life that, like, worked for me, worked hard for me, like, just really wanted to make this work. And so I said worked for you, like I 1099'd him at the end of the year. I just mean, like, I genuinely, like, felt this feeling of, like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be like. If he wanted to, he would. He doesn't fucking live in America, and he and I didn't sit down like, so are we gonna do this? Or, like, I'm not kidding, we did not really, even the first time and second time I went to London, when we were like, we both said, like, we're obviously gonna do, like, there's no other way, like, there's nothing else I will do but make this work. So I know that sounds dramatic, but it was true. Like, we didn't have to weigh the pros and cons, we didn't have to, like, make a list. I didn't have to, like, ask my friend if she thinks I'm crazy. I was like, I want this to work, so I'm gonna make it work. He wanted to make it work, so we did. So if she wants it to, they will. And so I just think that's a really great lesson, because you will meet someone one day that you don't have to decode their text messages. You don't, and of course, like, when me and James first started dating, I was like, what is he talking about? Mostly because I feel like we speak a different language. But, like, you don't have to decode their every thought, their every move. There's no, like, intense games being played. Like, there's, like, nothing like that to the point of making you anxious or insecure. I get that there's, like, funny, flirty games in the beginning, whatever. But, like, the games that make you feel bad, the games that make you feel, like I said, anxious, insecure, wonderment, not in a cute way. Like, I wonder if he's sleeping with other people. Like, those aren't the wonders you should have. Like, that's not flirty first, like, phases of relationship vibes. Like, that's not fun. And that's not what you should be striving for. So I just really think it's a great testament that, like, I'm almost not, like, I waited, because, like, I dated plenty of people before James that didn't work out, right? Like, after John, like, I was actively looking for a boyfriend. And, like, I just really am thankful that none of them worked out, because I eventually did have enough self-pride to be like, no. Because I almost didn't, this is what I think I didn't say on the podcast before. Unless I have, and stop me if I have, Courtney, because some people do say I repeat stories. Sorry.
I almost didn't go on the trip to Barcelona because I, this is embarrassing, I was talking to this guy, you guys know him as Short King. I was talking to Short King and I was convinced that he would invite me to California. Okay, just let that sink in. He was like in California for his off season or something. And I was like, I'm pretty sure he's gonna invite me to California to see him. Not come here, by the way, not fucking come here, but invite me to come see him. And I was gonna hop on a plane and I was gonna go see him. And so I was very honest with Marissa. Marissa is such a fucking legend and such a goat. I was like, listen, I know this is embarrassing to admit, but I almost think I might skip Barcelona. She's like, that's a fine. I was crashing her solo trip anyways. She's like, that's fine. I was like, I know this sounds embarrassing, but I feel like XYZ Short King, I feel like he might invite me to California. And if he does, like, I'd really like to be here because obviously if I'm on a trip, he'll know that. He'll see that on Instagram. Like, he won't invite me. And she's like, okay. She really didn't try to dissuade me here or there. She did tell me, like, it is attractive when men see you doing things, like, on your own, independently, not just, like, sitting around, like, twiddling your thumbs. Like, she's like, going on a trip might be, like, kind of cool. He might be like, damn, I wish she wasn't on a trip. I was going to invite her to California. And then, like, you know, we're only going for a week. Like, we were going for 7 days or a week or 8 days or something. I don't remember. So she's like, it's not, like, the end of the world. And I was like, yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. So, all that being said, I almost didn't meet the love of my life because I thought a guy was going to maybe ask me to hang out across the country. Okay. So, like, we've all been there and I'm allowed to brag about my relationship because I was that pathetic at one point. Okay. So, yeah, I really just giggle at thinking a year ago today, I was just walking down the streets of Barcelona, saw a hot guy, made eye contact with him, felt like the world was in slow motion. I mean, it really did feel like that way. And then we just kept on walking. Obviously, the OGs here know that we didn't really keep walking. We technically tried to follow him for a little bit, but they didn't look back at us. So we left. And then 5 hours later, we were literally walking in a different part of town and passed him again. And, like, you know, fate is just the craziest thing. And, like, serendipity and, like, all of these things or whatever, the kismet, like, moments. But I just really feel lucky to experience not only just that moment, because of course that's what everyone clings to and that's what I cling to. I love telling the story. It's such a cool story. But, like, the past year that I've had with James is, like, what's obviously the most special to me, and, like, how we've grown as a couple and how we've made it work when it's fucking hard to be in a long distance relationship, and it's just not easy. And so to know that we're, like, doing all of this because it's a means to an end, and then that he's trying to move here and we're gonna live this life together, like, it just makes me so freaking happy. And I'm so glad that you guys have been here for all of it and met him on the podcast, and he's been on the podcast and he'll continue to be. So it's just exciting. And that's all I had to say about that. I don't know a single person who isn't obsessed with Topgolf after they've tried it. If you haven't been, it's this, like, massive, stunning, cool venue that has so much more than just golf. It's an experience. So I've gone with, like, all my friends. I've taken my parents there. I've gone with my goddaughters. It's legit perfect for anyone. And I'm personally not super good at golf, but that's where it's fun because, like, it doesn't matter. I've gone with my friends before that are legit so good at golf, and sometimes I even beat them at games we've played. So they've got these huge light up targets that you try to hit into a massive fairway, and there's, like, a ton of different games that are associated with them. And another thing that I try to do is convince all my friends who are really good at golf, you know, those ones I mentioned, to come with me on Half Price Tuesday. It's so cool. Literally every Tuesday, gameplay is half off, so you get more play for less pay, baby. Some exclusions apply, but you can read all about that on their website. So I get them there for the Half Price gameplay, and then they help me with my swing, teach me more about golf and all that jazz. They got music pumping, amazing food and drinks that get delivered right to your bay. Get the pizza, trust me. And personally, my favorite part is even though it's technically outside, it's covered. And so in the winter, they got heaters to make it cozy. And in the summer, they've got fans to keep you cool because mama does not like to sweat. Oh, and shout out to my lefties, because another reason that I never really played golf, or I guess why I was kind of, like, always intimidated, is because I don't actually have my own set of clubs. So it's rare that anyone else is left-handed and can let me borrow them, whatever. And Topgolf hooks it up with the lefty clubs. Actually, everyone gets to choose whatever club they want when they're there. So it's nice. You get to kind of just, like, play around with whichever ones work for you. And I just genuinely have such a good time every time I'm there. Also, if there's someone in your life who wants to have fun but also cannot miss a game on TV, we all know the type, then don't worry. They have giant TVs everywhere. I'm telling you, the next time you don't know what to do with your friends, with your parents, or even with your kids, take them to Topgolf. It will not disappoint. Also, it's fun to try something new. I never thought that I'd be interested in golf, but Topgolf makes you forget that it's a serious sport and you just have fun with it. Listen, it's golf. It's not golf. It's Topgolf. Pro tip, by the way, download the app and book ahead of time to come play around on Half Price Tuesday or any other day. Let's talk about the motherfucking landlord drama, okay? because everyone's like, give us an update. So last time I talked to you guys, it was actually, people on my Instagram were confused because there obviously are people that listen to this podcast and follow me on Instagram. And they're like, but you said I'll do you one better. And I'm like, I did. But let me give you the update now, because now it's signed, sealed, delivered. And the funniest thing happened when I was in Texas, actually. So I have to keep this in mind. I talked to this girl, this woman. She's a realtor. She's so nice. She's been so wonderful this entire time. She is a realtor that the owners of this house, who are two sisters in their 70s, the owners, and quite motherfucking ornery. I really have been saying motherfucker a lot in this episode. I need to relax because I have to edit this stuff out. I have to type it all out because it wants to beep it when I put it on Instagram, like beep. And I'm like, no, I have to then type out motherfucking. Anyways, okay, so I think they're pretty ornery. Okay. And if you don't know what that means, Google it. It's just, they're just not in a super happy place in their life, I guess. And someone like shit in their shoe, that kind of vibe at all times. So I never speak to the owners. I know who the owners are. I know when I moved in, there were a couple of things, like, I don't know if I told you guys this, but like, there's just a couple things that like, they have left like a shit ton of stuff in the garage. And I just kind of was like, hey, like, this isn't a beach condo that I'm renting for the weekend on Airbnb, like where you get to have an owner's closet. Like, you have to move your stuff out. Like, I need to park my car in here. It's dangerous to have free standing doors in here and like all this other stuff. And they were like, oh yeah, hon, sorry. The owner said no. And I was like, okay. But I'm just like, I am so easygoing that I was like, it is what it is. My dad and Mike were like, absolutely not. Like, absolutely not. They have to move their stuff out. And I was like, it's fine. I live here alone. Like, I'm a dream tenant. I live alone. I don't have kids. I don't have a dog. None of this. Like, you couldn't want me to live in your house more. I get it professionally clean every 2 weeks. Like, Courtney, we're looking around. This place looks great. Okay. I'm not even here half the fucking time. It's not even really lived in. And so anyways, I basically asked them, whenever I did the whole, like, I'll do you one better thing, I basically, you know, redid my tracks a couple months ago and said, can I actually stay till June? And I like wrote this letter being like, I'm a single, I mean, I made it the biggest sap story ever, which to be fair, all of it's true. I was like, I'm a single 28-year-old girl. I've poured all my time, energy, money, and effort into this house I'm building. I live alone. I don't even have a husband. I don't have dogs, pets, anything. I gave the whole spiel. I get your house cleaned. I've the amount of love I've poured into these walls since I've been within them. I mean, I went full fucking pathetic mode. Desperado scale, right back up. And so I was like, I write this letter with sheer desperation and begging you guys to reach inside and see some kindness and understanding for my situation and the burden it would lift off of me to let me stay till June. They write back and they're like, okay, yes, she can stay till June, but she has to pay a way higher rent, which they upped my rent $1,000. I was like, it is what it is. Like, yes, thank you. Yes. So the landlord tells me all this. My landlord is the renter, is the realtor, not the owners. I've never, still to this day, I've never talked to the two women in their 70s owners, but the landlord told me they ain't easy to work for, honey. And I'm like, yeah, I could see that. So anyways, so the landlord's like my girl. Her and I are always chatting. She's always being so sweet, so nice. And so a lot of times you guys are like, you should say XYZ. And I'm like, no, I'd be talking to the landlord, the middlewoman. And she's like so nice. And so anyways, I randomly get a text from the landlord. It's like, hey, I am so sorry. The owners have decided that they actually do not want to let you stay till June. And I was like, what? I have it in writing. Like, now I have it in writing. I know I went back and forth, made it a little messy, but like, a month ago, they said, I have it in writing. Like, what do you mean? And she's like, I know. I'm so sorry. They just said, like, for reasons that they don't care to explain, like, no. And I was like, the burden. Oh, my, it's back. The anvil on my chest. I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, I don't even know what to do. I beg again. I'm like, can you please beg? Can you do this? She's like, I'll ask one more time. I was like, can you tell them that I have to put all my stuff in store? She's like, I'll ask. I looked up like what an Airbnb. I'm sure you guys that are coming to Nashville and traveling to Nashville understand how expensive it is in the summertime, which is the most popular time to come to Nashville, CMA Fest, all this stuff. To get an Airbnb for a weekend is fucking expensive. To get it for the month of June, that shit is crazy. And so, and this is a finance podcast. We're saving money, baby. And so I was like, okay, she comes back. She's like, so they've written out these rules. So I guess that they did all that. They said no randomly because they knew that I'd be like desperate and beg. And then they came back with these other stipulations. So what they wanted to do and what they wanted to succeed in doing was pulling one over me. They didn't like the number they came up with before, which was $1,000 more, which I know it's my own doing that I live in this big house by myself. Therefore, like, I pay the full rent by myself. But like, for them to raise another $1,000 knowing it's just me, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, you got to do what you got to do. They must have thought to themselves, we could get more out of her. Or I don't know if someone was like, yeah, I don't know if they used to see a G-Wagon in my driveway and now they didn't anymore. And they're like, she must have just made some money. Like, I don't know what the deal was, but out of the blue, they say they're not going to. I say, please, these things. And then they have already ready within like 5 minutes. Okay, you can stay if you follow these stipulations. And it's another list. The list includes, you must now pay $2,500 more on top of the $1,000 MERS. So we're talking $3,500 more. What? I don't fucking care. I'll give you guys the numbers. I gave it to the Instagram, so what does it matter? So I paid I basically almost paid $5,000 to stay here. So they want me to now pay $8,500 to stay for 1 month in this house. 1 month. Then the other stipulation was the entire month of May, they get to show the house to potential renters. Like maybe that means that they only show it one time that people say I'm sold, but they could come in. They say with 1 hour's notice, they could come in at any time and show the house to potential renters. I'm like, weird. Don't love that, but like, okay, I guess. Then the other thing was, and this is almost, because I'm telling you, I was so pathetically desperate. I almost would have said yes to the $8,500, just been like, it is what it is. We get to keep your security deposit. It will now be non-refundable. I lost my ever-loving mind. I lost it. I really did, because what gives them the right? It's actually illegal. My landlord was like, she was riding for me. She's a ride or die. She was so sweet. It's actually illegal. I've done nothing to forfeit my security deposit. I've kept this place immaculate. Like, there's nothing wrong with this place at all. Like, I've even like foregone hanging up some pictures because I'm like, well, I never hung them up, and what's the point in putting extra holes in their wall, even though that would be normal wear and tear. I mean, what gives them the right to think they get to keep my $5,000 security deposit, making the amount that I would be spending to stay here upwards of $15,000 for 30 days. Like, I lost it. My parents, when I called and told them, I haven't heard my dad that mad in a very long time. Like, they were like, who the fuck do these people think they are? And I was like, I couldn't agree more. Called the landlord. The landlord was also equally appalled. She's like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I am so sorry. This is insane. I was like, you can let them know it's also illegal to insinuate that they could keep my security deposit for no reason or damages. It's mine to take back. And she was like, no, I know. I couldn't agree more. I said, listen, I could write a really, really strongly worded letter, but I doubt she'll email it to him anyways, because why would you do that? And she's the middleman. I said, but you can tell them with the most abhorrent, like, disdain in my voice, no. And that I know what they're doing. They're backing me to a corner and bending me over the barrel. And it's pretty selfish. And it's such a greedy money grab. And I would assume that two women in their 70s would see this letter from a young girl who's doing all this stuff. Like, I can't believe they would take this situation and try to manipulate it. And like I said, just absolutely be so greedy and like horrible. She's like, I'm literally not going to say any of that to them, but okay, sounds good. I'm like, yeah, just let them know. No, I'm not saying. So I figured out, well, the universe be universe in. And I know that I can be a dumb bitch. I know I do a lot of fucked up shit, but I must be owed good karma somewhere, because the best situation ever happened. A friend who doesn't use their apartment was like, you can stay over 2 months. And I was like, what? For free 99? Are you serious? So like, the best situation in the entire world happened. Like, I can't even explain it. It's literally the best case scenario. I'm so eternally, innately grateful. I am so grateful. I go to Texas, right? My sister-in-law graduated medical school. Amazing. Dr. Ford in the house. And congrats, Lauren, again. It's actually her birthday today, too. So happy birthday, Lauren. But I get a text when I'm at the PBR, which I can dive into that, too. That was really fun. That says, hi, this is the landlord. Again, what a gem. We love her. The owners have, like, randomly out of the blue messaged me and said, okay, actually, if she wants to stay in June, we'll give her security deposit back. We can give it back. Like, you never had the right to have it anyways. We will not take her security deposit. She would only have to pay the $8,500. I was like, it was such a thrill. It was such a thrill. And the landlord wrote back, I'm sure you're just over it at this point. You've just had it. But I did have to let you know they did offer it in case that made you have any less stress. And I told her, like, you can let them know. The answer is no. Because they probably figured, like, we're not going to rent this place out in June. And she was offering us $8,500 to rent it out in June. And now it's just going to sit empty. So that's what happens when you want to be greedy. Life does not work out for you. Okay? Like, oh my gosh. Honestly, it was just a lot. It was a lot. So, but I really felt good about the whole thing as far as like them coming and groveling back was nice. So, and I don't wish ill upon them. Like, they're two women in their 70s. Like, I hope, one, they find a little bit of happiness in their life. And two, I hope this gave them a little bit of perspective, and which you would assume at their age they have. But three, I do hope they rent this place out. It's a beautiful place. I don't want any, you know, fallen financial times for the elders. They're going through enough with all the AI scams out there. So yeah, I wish them well. I hope, what's the phrase? They can eat, just not on my fucking table. So yeah, that was the landlord update and the house update. I am shook that I get to work with this brand because I have been a lover of their products for so long. You know me, I am the consumer. So Element is legit the queen of electrolyte replacement. It's spelled like L-M-N-T. By the way, I feel like you've probably seen it before. I got turned on to them by none other than Taylor because she was obsessed with them during her pregnancy. Biggest thing that sets them apart from the other electrolyte drink mixes, there's absolutely no sugar, zero. Just salt to replace all our lost sodium. There's no artificial ingredients. There's no coloring, no fillers, no gluten. Honestly, just no BS. The reason it's so important to have electrolytes in our system, by the way, is because it facilitates so many different functions in our body. Like, I didn't know how many things. Conductive of the nerve impulses, hormonal regulation, nutrient absorption, and fluid balance. And I know y'all know I am no scientist, and all those things sound way above my pay grade, but let me tell you what I do know. They're important. So I personally love chugging some Element mix in my water before and after I drink way too much wine, and it's always helped me not have a headache the next day. Also, it helps with sleeplessness, so I love that because sometimes I just do not sleep good, so this is great for that. James is obsessed with Element after his workouts because when you sweat, you're losing electrolytes. It's the loss of sodium, so we got to replace that so that we do not get cramps and fatigue and all those other annoying things that come with working out. Everyone, by the way, everyone is using Element. So jump on the bandwagon, okay? Get on the train. We got pro athletes using it. We got Olympic athletes using it. Even Navy SEALs drink it. So you know it's the good stuff. Right now, Element is offering my listeners a free sample pack with any purchase. That's 8 single serving packets for free with any Element order. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors or share Element with a salty friend. Get yours at drinkelement.com/probably. The deal's only available through my link, by the way. So you have to go to drinkelement.com/probably. Also, Element offers no questions asked refunds, so try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend and they will give you your money back, no questions asked. You've literally got nothing to lose. drinkelement.com/probably. I definitely did feel overwhelmed this week because, like, as you guys know, I did still have to, like, I have to move out of this place and put all my stuff in storage because I'm not bringing my 3-bedroom home furniture into an apartment. So I do have to put all of that in storage. But something that I learned this week, which I was really, like, impressed with myself, and I was like, okay, I need to tell this on the podcast because you know we love a list. You know I love a list. List on list on list on, not saying MF and list, but lists, right? Like, so many lists. And one thing I did was I felt like another anvil was on my chest and I had so many things and it felt so daunting. I'm like, I have to get my boat trailer moved. I have to pack all this stuff up. I have to find someone to store the stuff. Then I have to call Pods. Are the Pods big enough? And then I have to have my dad come in through. I have to hire handyman. My list, I'm not kidding, was, I'm not going to keep rambling off all the stuff I had to do, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And so, oh, and also I had to record this podcast. Love it. But like, when am I going to do that? So yeah, I was really stressed out. I made a list and I started ticking them off. And when you truly do, you can start with the big things. You can start with the small things. But when you have this daunting thing of like running list in your head, your brain does this really weird thing where it makes you feel like it's impossible. Like there's no way anyone could get this stuff done. But like when you write it in a piece of paper and it's tangible and you can see it and you literally physically cross things off, it's crazy how much you're like, oh my God, wow. And I was like calling mom, like I knocked off 3 things off the list today. She's like, you go, girlfriend. I'm like, I know. So I could not express enough. If you ever feel like things are so daunting, and I even thought to myself, how could I even write a list? The list of things to do is so long. I wrote it. It was long, but little by little by little, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a little. And I wrote silly stuff down, like pull jet ski out of garage. Like that technically isn't a thing I have to do. I just literally have to open my garage and pull the jet ski out for my dad. But like, I wrote it down because I was like, another thing. And like, it really helps. It really helps. So that was a nice little tidbit. I know you guys know I love a list, but this time even the list maker master was like, what are we going to do? And we did that and it was very helpful. Me, myself, and I. Okay. Also, I hired a bookkeeper. This is a financial podcast. Okay. And I just want to employ all of you guys. Implore? I don't know. If you have the means to hire a bookkeeper, if you're not good at math, like some people are like, bitch, I bookkeep my own shit. Congratulations. Show off. The math don't be math in my head. And one thing I realized is you have to outsource stuff. My bookkeeper, by the way, I know everything is like different shift of perspective and maybe you'd be like, that was a lot, but like she does not charge that much. Like it's a very reasonable rate. You could literally just like not get Starbucks 6 times and it would pay for my bookkeeper for the month. So I am very happy to report that I'm about to know where every single penny of my money is going and I'm gonna have a fucking minty bee and a breakdown because I'm probably gonna be like, how do I spend that much money on Starbucks? But you know, I'm tired of saying ignorance is bliss. I need to know where my money's going. So every once in a while, y'all will be like, keep us updated with your finances. Keep us updated on how you're trying to save money. Do the thing. I'm keeping better track of my money, which I think is going to scare me into spending less money. Because when you just see like money come in, money come go, money come in, money goes, it's just kind of like free flowing and kind of fun. When you get a report back that's like you spent this much on egg white bites, shit hits different. Okay. Like you're like, that's crazy. That's insane. So we're doing that. And that's a little update for my finances. What else am I doing? Oh, I have a hot take. I have two of them. One, it's like hard. Like, not that Blake Lively listens to this podcast, but like, I need you to know, Blake Lively, like, I need you to know how much I love you. I need you to know that every role you do, I'm obsessed with. I need you to know that all these naysayers and haters that think you're just gorgeous and not a good actress, I don't agree. I think you're a fantastic actress. You're just stunning. So you always get stunning roles. But you're a really good actress. I've seen her in roles where she's not like the prettiest girl next door in the world, and she fucking crushes those two. I think she's an incredible actress. Stunning, fashion icon, all of the things. I don't know why she was casted for It Ends With Us. Like, you are not Lily Bloom. Like, low-key, I am. Oh my God, the ego. But like, I don't understand why. And I've just like seen pictures come out on E! News of like them, pictures of them filming. If you read the book, I know you guys are picturing the character in your mind, just not being the photos that were just released of Blake Lively. Here's another thing. Why anytime they turn someone into a redhead, they don't do a good job. Blake Lively would look stunning, stunning as a redhead if it was done right. Like, they got these dark ass roots. They like crimped it weird. Like, it's like this like brassy tone. Nowhere in the book does it say that she has brassy, like harsh red hair. Like, it just says she has like red hair. I just cannot believe, I just like feel like it's such a miss, like it's such a, it's a poor choice. I'm sorry, Blake. I love you. But like, you know, as we all are, it's a privilege. Aging is a privilege and it beats the hell out of the alternative. But like, we're getting older. I don't look at Blake and think she looks 23. I don't look at me and think me looks 23. I couldn't have been casted for the role. I just think it's bad. It's my hot take. And I just, maybe it's not such a hot take. Maybe you guys agree, but I'm just like, what is happening? Actually, I think the internet did wholeheartedly agree it was not a good casting. So it's not really a hot take, but it feels like a hot take in my heart because I do hate to discredit anything that Blake Lively does because I just love her so much. Also, BFFs with Taylor, like, would never. But hello, ask Sadie Rink or whatever her name is from Taylor's All Too Well video, ask her to do it. She looks like a 23-year-old redhead. Like, what? I just that was my, if you guys read it all, It Ends With Us, read the book and you guys will agree. Another thing that I wanted to talk about is Martha Stewart being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, what the fuck? It's so good. How old is she? She's in her 70s or is she 80?
81.
If she's 81, I'm gonna lose my mind. She is 81 years old. First of all, Martha, babes, you look 60. Facts. You look 60. I don't know what you've been doing. I know you went to jail. I would assume that might harden you a little bit. I would have assumed that would have digressed in the aging department. But you look fabulous. You look amazing. I can't even believe it's so good. And it is so refreshing to see. Sometimes I can see brands doing the most and you're like, okay, you guys wanted to hop on board with anything that like you thought was the right thing to do and they're not doing it from their hearts. You know, when brands aren't using inclusivity like the correct way, you could tell it's a money grab. It's not authentic to them. You can tell that they didn't really care about it. I don't like that kind of stuff, right? I don't like anything that's super performative. I want you to do it and mean it. I don't want you to do it one time. I don't want you to include plus size models in your runway show one time and then be like, we did the thing. Now we don't have to ever do it again. No, if you want to be inclusive, be fucking inclusive. Like, do it the right way. Do it and mean it. So it really bothers me when people like just are doing something like really quick for a money grab. The way that I could just tell, the Sports Illustrated has always been with their swimsuit models and stuff. I shouldn't speak on it always, but like since I've been following along in my age, I have just been so impressed and you can just tell like they really, really want everyone to feel included. And I am so obsessed with Martha Stewart on this cover. Like, she looks incredible. She's 81 years old. And I know there are going to be people listening to this being like, oh my God, yeah, but like she's rich. So of course she looks good at 81. I'm like, no, you could be rich and not look good at 81. She is killing it. She's also so funny. Like, Martha Stewart is such a character. So funny. Obviously, I'm sure jail just like, I should go to jail. Like, I should like maybe just dabble because I feel like it makes you funnier. I feel like it makes people like you more. I could go for something silly like her, like tax evasion. I probably will. Just kidding. If the IRS is listening, I always do my taxes right because I don't do them. But yeah, I just feel like going to jail. Oh man, you obviously can have a phone. Like I'm in jail talk on TikTok. Like these guys have phones. So like obviously I could still be like chit-chatting with you guys. Maybe I could record the podcast. I feel like it'd be really good for my brand if I went to jail. For again, something like silly goosey, like nothing crazy. Just good for you, Martha. Good for you, Martha. Good for you, Sports Illustrated. I was really, really obsessed with the cover and I really like what they were doing. Guys, as if I have to convince any of y'all to watch The Kardashians, but nevertheless, the world's most famous matriarchy is back for the most intimate look yet into the family's empire. When I tell you I've been waiting for this new season like you wouldn't believe, on the edge of my seat with bated breath, I have been obsessed with The Kardashians since high school, and my obsession is just really only growing deeper and deeper because they're sharing more of their lives with us. You know what I mean? That's why I love them so much. They just share everything. They're like me, oversharers. Honestly, it's like we're all growing up together. Also, the previews for this season have me laughing. Like, they're on their funny game. I'm seeing, like, clips of Khloe, seeing clips of Kylie, and they really are just making me giggle. They're tickling me pink. And apparently, this season is going to heavily focus on sibling rivalry, which I am dying to see play out. I keep seeing things about Kourtney's wedding, Kim's Dulce ad, and I'm just so curious. Like, I gotta know what happens. I'm also really happy that we're gonna be seeing more of Scott, Kylie, Kourtney, and Travis. Honestly, it's just amazing that a family can be so stunning, so rich, so famous, and so successful, yet somehow maintain such relatability. Like, that is just why we love them. At the end of the day, they're still just sisters and daughters, wives and aunts, just like the rest of us. I am pumped for this new season of The Kardashians, and you're going to hear me talking about it more and more, recapping my favorite parts, etc., on the podcast. So don't miss season 3 of The Kardashians. New episodes on Thursdays, only on Hulu. Okay, so what else do we have on the docket here? You know, I love to write notes. Oh my God, I've almost forgot to tell the story 3 times. Okay, producer Gordon was about to remind me. Okay, I forgot to tell this story about Stagecoach. How I forgot to tell it when Margo was here, I think I was just like obsessed with everything Margo was saying, and I just like, it was like, I'll tell that on a solo pod, and then I forgot to. Okay, this happened at Stagecoach, and I have to tell y'all. Okay, so we're at Stagecoach. We have, subtle flex, we have like artist VIP passes or whatever. So we have this like designated area that's like, and actually I'm pretty sure a lot of spots in Stagecoach and Coachella, which obviously they're held in the same place. I think a lot of places, they do a good job of not having, obviously they have porta potties most places, but there's designated areas for any wristband that are like nicer porta potties. And you know the kind, it's like this trailer. You open the doors. It's like they have them at weddings sometimes now. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? They're like fancy porta potties. They're like royal porta potties or whatever they call them on the side of the trucks. But you walk into this white trailer and it's like stalls actually. And then there's a sink with a mirror. They're not always air conditioned, but sometimes they are and it's nice. And anyways, it was that situation in this little like backstage area at Stagecoach. I walk in and things are going awry, right? And we're not just talking about no toilet paper left. People are like talking. People are like trying to figure stuff out. There's 4 stalls. There's enough room for probably 4 people in the stalls, right? Obviously, because one at a time. And then there's like this middle area where there's a sink and there's a mirror. And there's 3 people in there, which is about capped off at what you can have. And they're saying this lady can't get out of the bathroom. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, she's locked in there. And I'm like, what? No way. The door goes ceiling to floor, right? So you can't like see above, you can't like peek above the stall, right? I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, how long has she been in there? They're like, I don't know. The girl's like, I don't know. I cannot open the door. She leaves. Again, these people back there, these aren't like Stagecoach goers, like just like patrons of the festival. These are, because we're backstage, it's a lot of people that work. So I don't think people were trying to be cruel. I just think people were like, I don't know. I couldn't get it open. I got to. Showtime. I gotta run. So like this girl says that and then she leaves and I'm like, what? And then this other girl was like, yeah, like she can't get out. And then she leaves and I'm like, I'm talking to the lady now, like, hey, like, can you move the door this way? I'm perplexed that this door really is just like shut. I'm like, okay, no one's pulled it hard enough. They didn't want to be like those people. I'll yank it open. And so I go, can you hold my purse to the one girl that's left now? And people are trickling out of the stalls, kind of like looking what's going on, being like, weird. Oh, this is so weird. But everyone's kind of just like coming and going. No one's, how long has this lady been in there? Like, she sounds older, not young. She sounds older. I'm like, what is going on? So I'm like, hey, ma'am. I'm like, ma'am, can you hear me? She's like, yes. I'm like, so I'm going to try to pull really, really, really hard. So don't jiggle the doorknob right now, okay? She's like, okay. I grab it. I boom, all my weight. That shit doesn't, mother. It doesn't budge. I was like, So that didn't work. She's like, she starts muffling, like, I can see that the doorknob has two screws. If I can, because there's, she goes, are there screws on your end? I go, there's no screw. I mean, there's no way to, like, get this door open. I'm like, I don't see any screws on our end. She's like, I see two screws. Like, if you hand me a Phillips head, me, country mouse, I know what a Phillips head is. Do I have one at Stagecoach? No, it wasn't on the approved backlist. So I left it at home. I was like, I don't have one, but someone that works here, I'm looking at people like, can y'all get someone? And someone does say, we called for help. Like, we called for help, but they're just like, it's been a while. And I'm like, how long have you been in there? She's like, 15 minutes. Y'all, it's fucking hot. It's hot. I'm realizing this lady isn't like a spring chicken. I'm like, oh, I'm like, we're going to get you out of there. Kyle, who went with me to the bathroom, is probably so confused why it's taking me so long. He's probably like, what festival shit is she taking right now? So I'm like, we're going to get you out of here. I'm like still juggling the door. I get my ID. Dumb. Like, I literally have like a gift card in my Chipotle gift card. But what did I use? My government issued ID. I'm now trying to like pop the just actual door jam part of things, like the lever of that door opens door. What is there a word for it? Whatever. It doesn't matter. You guys know what I'm talking about. The part that you would stick a credit card in to try to open a door. It is like fucking up my, I have to use my passport now when I go to the airport, cause it won't like stick into the little like ID reader slot. Every time I've tried now, they've been like, you need to get a new ID. I'm like, great. That's what I want to do. Go to the DMV for trying to save someone. And so, I tried that to no avail. Finally, I realized that through the stall next to her, it doesn't go from floor to ceiling. You could hand someone toilet paper underneath. That part's really small. She couldn't squeeze through that. But above is enough space that I could like grab her and like help her, like grab her hands and help her come over the other stall. And then she could exit with the door that's open and then just leave it. As I'm about to do that, I'm like leaning myself about to like look over into the stall. This guy comes. He's like here to help. I'm like, oh my, thank God. I've exhausted all options that I have. He comes. Y'all, I really say this with like, I feel so bad for this lady, but also like, what? I was like, oh my gosh, help has arrived. He's here. People are cheering. Woo, woo, woo. Everyone thinks I'm related to this woman. They're like, is she your mom? I'm like, no. I just like, no one was helping her out of this toilet situation. She's stuck in here, in this hot toilet. Like, who isn't helping? And so the guy comes, he has this tool. He immediately opens the door. It like it locks it, whatever mechanism. It opens. Y'all, she's standing there with her pants around her ankles. And the guy goes, oh, sorry. And she's like, oh, I'm like, oh, ma'am, you had so much time. You had so much time. Why did you think it was gonna happen? You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, it's hard to feel bad for her. It's really hard. I'm trying so hard because she wasn't our grandma's age and she wasn't our mom's age. You know what I mean? By our, I mean like if you're my age, 29. She was like in between my mom and my grandma's age. So obviously like not super young. So I was just like, what? Oh my God. Of course, we closed the door back right away. We're like, oh, get dressed. What? Why hadn't you? So weird. Odd. Also, the whole time we were talking, you didn't have pants on. So weird. Anyways, she comes out. She thanks me so much. I'm like, thank God. Everyone thinks I am like related to her. Everyone can't. But oh, I forgot this part. When I was originally trying to get her to come over the other stall, I stood on the my cowboy boots. Idiot. I stood on the toilet paper holder. It came crashing down, and thank God, out of instinct, I went like this, and I grabbed the top of the porta potty. But then I'm just hanging on the top of the stall, and they're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" And then I have to step on the toilet to get down. Like, I totally forgot about that, and that's when the guy showed up and let her in, her pants were down, whatever. Anyways, everyone's cheering me on. She's giving me a big hug. Everyone thinks I'm like her daughter or niece or something. I don't know. And then we leave, and she's like, "Thank you so much." The next day, people saw me and were like, you were the girl that got that old lady out of the bathroom. First of all, I didn't. I unsuccessfully multiple times didn't get her out. I was like, that's me. What? Red hair, man. People don't forget. But I walk back and I obviously like tell the whole story to Claudia and to Margot and Emily. And Claudia looks at me and she goes, why the fuck do these things happen to you? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, dude. I have no idea why these things happen to me. I swear the universe gives it to me for content. It's like, this is going to be a silly, goofy little thing. No one's going to get hurt. We're going to make this happen to Shannon. Like literally, like the envelopes at the airport. After I was on that podcast, Courtney looked at me and let dead ass was like, how do these things happen to you? Like, why does it happen to you? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. So that was what happened. The pants around the ankles, so you gotta wonder. If things that make you go, really? Okay, what else do we have to give you an update on? I had a fantastic time in Dallas. Like I said, the PBR was sick. Like we did a brand deal with the Fort Worth Tourism Board. It's called Visit Fort Worth. And it was just like so sick because they showed us all around the Stockyards. I'd never been to Texas like that before. And it was so cool. I just loved every second of it. I want to go back to the Stockyards. If you're from Texas, you're cool. Like you're just like a different level. And I think it's really neat. Also, I was like calling James being like, isn't it crazy that I am in a state right now that your country could fit inside of six times? Like, what? Texas is massive. Okay. And then also, I wanted to round out with saying, let's just talk about for a second how obviously at the Nashville show for Taylor Swift, she announced she's coming out with Fearless, Taylor's version. And I just saw this like clip on Instagram of Taylor Lautner. And I think his quote was, "I feel safe praying for John." Like, John Mayer is about to get his shit rocked. Like we thought that Jake Gyllenhaal got it. I mean, honestly, I think that one will probably always be the worst because I think that like Taylor doesn't really have animosity for John Mayer anymore. I really don't think she does. She's probably so over it. Whereas like Jake Gyllenhaal, I feel like always just like cut her really deep and she was like, fuck him for literally forever. But like John Mayer, I feel like she's like, he's fine. You know, it is what it is. I can't speak to her thoughts and feelings, but I just feel like she's more over that phase of her life. But I know one thing to be true about Taylor. She's gonna deliver. And she knows what we want. We want him burning at the stake. I love John Mayer. I literally love his music. I want him to burn. I want him to burn. Burn, baby. I just cannot wait. Actually, Dear John was such a favorite of mine back then. I wasn't obsessed with a lot of Fearless songs. I really wasn't, you know, judge me if you wish. That's fine. It wasn't my like favorite era of hers. Dear John, it is such a long song. That's why it never really got a lot of radio play. But the way that it is so iconic and I know every word, I cannot wait. I can't wait for the gems to come out of the vault with her. I'm so excited. Well, guys, I've got to go figure out how to drive this truck. TBD. I got to look up some things about it. I got to look up some specs so that when people ask me, I can then forego and continue on with my, not forego, I could continue on forward with my pick me energy and know things about the truck. All right. Well, I love you guys. Mwah. Bye.